We begin the current daf and set the schulin daf nanalf. We begin on the bottom of Nunam Beis, three lines up from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues to explain the halacha of our previous Mishnah regarding the different 18 treifas that there are possible in an animal to make it non-kosher. So the Mishnah continues and says, Hemsis to Beis HaKesis, which are the second and the third stomachs that are in the animal, where there's four stomachs in the ruminant. If there's a hole on the outside, then that's considered treifa. So related to this halacha, the Gemara brings Tanban Lun Nabraisa. Machat shenimtzis bo'ivi beis hakoisis. If there's a needle that's found in the thickness of the wall of the reticulum, of that stomach, which there's two linings in this stomach. So mitzadech, if the needle is found only in one wall, so then it's kosher, because that means it didn't penetrate, it didn't puncture the whole thing. It's still kosher. It's still going to be a viable animal. Mishnei tzadim treifa, but if it punctured on both sides, then it's a treifa. Now, however, that's what the Braisa qualifies. That's only if nimta leo karadam. If there's some granule of blood that's found on the needle, then we say that this needle that punctured through both walls made the animal a trefa. Why? Because we contain the type of nanalv manalv, but you do a shalifnei shechita. Because if there's blood, obviously the animal is still alive, and that's where it got the blood from, and therefore it made the animal into a trefa. But le nimta leo karadam, if you find even a needle that's through both walls of the reticulum, but there's no blood on the needle, then be a doer shalach hashchita. Then obviously know that this needle punctured it after it was slaughtered, when the blood already drained out of the body, and therefore there's no blood on the needle. Then even though it made a hole through both walls, it's still not going to be a treifa. Now, continues the Braisa, higlid pi hamakef. Let's say by the opening of that wound, by the hole, there's a crust, it created a scab. Then you know that obviously this wound was at least 3 days before it was slaughtered. Now, the relevancy is not regarding if it's treif or not. It's obviously treif. The idea is regarding that if, let's say, the one who purchased the animal purchased it within the last 3 days, then this is obviously what's called mekach tais. It was a mistaken acquisition because he was buying kosher animal and he sold him something that's treif, and then the seller has to give him back his money. The reason for this is because we do a shleishi yom kaim shchita, like we said, because then you obviously know that it happened within the last 3 days. But loy higlid piyamaka. But let's say the wound doesn't have a scab. Now you're in doubt. We don't know when the actual wound happened. Was it before the purchase or after the purchase? So now it's on the butcher, who he's the hamitzi mechaveri. He's the one that's trying to get back his money, because generally we assume that the seller is not going to give the animal before he gets money. So now the butcher wants his money back. Allah riots incumbent upon him to bring the proof that the injury was before the sale. And because it's a doubt, we can't remove money from the one that's in the chazaka, the money right now, whose in possession it is, which is the seller. And therefore, the butcher would have to prove his point that it was already a treifa beforehand to get his money back. Now, on this halacha, the Braisa, the Gemara asks, why is this halacha of the needle in the reticulum different than any time that we've been saying in the previous halachas of the Mishnah, that when there's a hole in one of the intestines, one of the organs of the body, that even if there's no blood, the master said it's a treifa? Why here do we say that the reticulum is only going to be a treifa if we find blood on the needle? So that the Gemara answers, Hasam lekamidi lemisach. In all those other cases, when you find a hole in one of those organs without a needle, so when the blood leaves it, so then it just the blood doesn't get stuck on anything in the flesh. It just drips down because there's nothing to get stuck to. That's the way the organs in the body are like. So therefore, even though there's no blood, but we see a hole, so that's a treifa. But hacha kim dekemachad. But here, since there's a needle over here that punctured it, iisa dekayid meshchitahu. If it was true that it happened before it was slaughtered, and the needle's still there in the wall, so then the blood would have gotten stuck onto the needle, and then we should be seeing blood. So to the contrary, because there's a needle there, it actually makes it more lenient. Now that we don't see blood, obviously it was actually made after the slaughtering, and then the animal's going to be kosher. Now the Gemara illustrates this with the story that Omri of Safra Labaya said, Chazimar, let the master see, Haitzuvim Rabbanon, this Talmudic scholar, the Asimim Rabba that came from the west, from Eretz Yisrael, Vamran, he says, Ravavir Shemani, saying, my name is Ravavir. Vamran, he's saying over, the Maisa Bolifnei Rebbe, he says, there was an incident that came in from the Rebbe, that Machat Shenimtsis Boibi Beis HaKaisis Mitzad Echad. There was a needle that was found in the walls of the reticulum on one side, Vitarfa, and Rebbe said, it's treif. which sounds not like the halacha that we said previously, which was it's only treif if the hole went through both walls. So shalach leis, Abaye is sent for this Rabbi Avir to come to him. Lo yasa l'gabei and didn't come to him. So azalhu l'gabei, so Abaye went to him. Habakai igor, he was on the roof. So Amar Abaye said to him, neches mar v'nesi, could the master come down? So, you know, he wanted to talk to him. Lo yachas, he didn't come down. So salachu l'gabei, so Abaye went up to him. So Amalei, so Abaye said to him, Emily, tell me, gufadov de heichahabi, tell me exactly, what was this story that you're saying over? So Amalei said to him, after kinesias anoi, he says, I'm the one that was in charge of bringing the students in and out and gathering them to set them up in the study hall. La'ila mirabi rabba, in front of the great rabbi, meaning Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. V'hava Rav Huna tzipara, Rabbi Yisi mado yishma levanam. Now, there was a time that you had Rav Huna from Tzipari and Rabbi Yisi from Adah, that were sitting in front of Rabbi. Uvas lefnei Rabbi, machat shenimtzis ba'evi beis ha'koysim sadechad. And there came this story where there was a needle that was found in the walls of the beis ha'koysis, in the reticulum, on one side, which was on the inside wall. And they were looking at that. They found it on the inside wall. And then, so obviously they had inverted it. V'hafacha Rabbi. Then Rabbi flipped it over, which was, although this was only found on one side, that they didn't see the needle coming through on the other side, he then flipped it over the Beis HaKaisis to see the external, the exterior, umotzalau, and they actually found on the needle, which was towards the opening on the outside, he found a kairidam, a drop of blood, the tarfa, and he said that the animal's treif. Vaman, he said, because im ancha maka, if this wound is not something that's going through to the outside wall, then karidaminayin. Where exactly? How are we finding a drop of blood on the outside wall? So obviously that the wound is on both sides, and therefore the animal is a treifa. So Amalei, so Abaye said to him, and the girsay these either tarach tariyeh or tarach tarche, two different girsayis and Rashi. Tarach tarche lahu gavra, meaning what effort that man, and Abaye was talking about himself, that he had to go through to come to, he had to come all the way to him and go up to the roof. Or either it means that I came here for nothing, because there's no novelty over here. Masnitinhi, this is our Mishnah. Hemsis, or Besakais, it's Shanik Falachutz. We said that if these any one of these two stomachs develop a hole on the outside, it's a treifa. He had heard that it was on one side, which was on the inside, and it's treif. That was how the story started off. But ultimately, that he had proved that that if there's blood on the outside, it means it must have gone through, so it was punctured on the outside. And of course, it's treif, and therefore there was no novelty in this story that he heard. Mishnah continued and said, Nafal min agag, if the animal fell from the roof, that's also is a symbol of being a treifa. So Amrav Huna, he said, Hinich behem lamala. If let's say one leaves his animal on the top, meaning on the roof, Uvo motzalamata, then he comes back late and he sees his animal's down on the ground. So since we didn't see the animal fall, says Rav Huna, Ein cheshen mishum risuke evarm, which is the halacha of this falling from the roof. We're not concerned that maybe its limbs got dislodged, which that's this halacha we're talking about of nefulu and the falls, that you have to then wait a period of 24 hours and you have to be concerned that maybe its limbs got shaken. Which Mishnah later on, the Vav Manav tells us, if you wait 24 hours and then you slaughter, then it's going to be kasha. But here in this situation, since we're not concerned that it fell, but rather we're assuming that it jumped by itself, then we're not going to have this concern, and we don't have to have this tarfis of when it falls. As the Gemara illustrates, this halacha and clarifies it with the following incident. Hahu gad yidahavel Ravina. There was this goat that Ravina had that was on his roof, and additionally on his roof there was a skylight, and there was an opening in the roof. And now the goat that was on the roof, the chaza chushla, the goat saw that there was peeled barley, beifuma, that was through the area of the skylight down in the house. It was able to see that peeled barley. So dagar, so the goat jumped, and nafal meigulara, and it fell from the roof to the ground. So asula came into Ravashi, so he brought the animal from the Ravashi, and normally he asked him the following question. Hadam Rav Huna, this is Rav Huna said, if you leave your animal on the top and you come and you find it on the bottom, the Rav Huna said, you don't have to be concerned for this tarfas of the shaking of the bones. Why? Is it because mishum de isla mid la misrach? Is because we assume that the animal, that it had something to hold on to. Meaning, Rav Huna is in a case when it didn't just jump through a skylight in the roof. Rather, if it jumped off the sides of the roof. So we're assuming, we didn't see what happened, that it held on to the walls, and as it's jumping off, it was still holding on somewhat with its hands, so that's why it was able to break its fall, and that's why it's not a treifa. But v'hai lesle midi lemisach. But my situation where the skylight wasn't near the wall, it would not have had anything to hold on to. And therefore, maybe we should be concerned for risi gevurim that it is a treifa. Or maybe no, mishum de amda nafsha. Maybe the crux of Rav Huna's ruling was because that it evaluates in itself. The animal intuitively knows if it's too high, it's not going to jump. And therefore, if it jumped, that means to say nothing happened to it. So v'hainami amda nafsha. So maybe my goat also evaluated itself, and even though it jumped from a high distance, we should have no concern for the treifa of risi gevurim. So Malay, so on that, Rav Ashi said to him, yes, like the second version, Mishum de Amda Nafsha, the reason for Rav Huna's heter was because it evaluates in itself. But Hainami Amda Nafsha, your animal too, and there's no problem about Risa Gevar. Another incident, the Gemara brings out, he imrasa de hava be Rav Chaviva, this female sheep, this ewe, that was in the house of Rav Chaviva, da hava shadron kare basraisa, where it's a back foot was dragging behind the animal. So Amr Rav Yemer, he says, not a problem. It just has the cramps, and that's why the foot is dragging. It's not a sign of a treifa. On that mask of Ravina, Ravina asks, but v'dilma chuta shedri ifsik. Maybe the reason why it's dragging the foot is because it has a spinal injury. And actually, Badku, they inspected the animal, and Ashkechu Ravina, they saw like Ravina, they actually had a spinal injury, which would make it treif. Vafalachi, in spite of that, says the Gemara, Hilchasak Rav Yemer, that we don't have to check the rest of the animals that have their legs dragging, and we could assume that it's kosher just as a cramp. Why? Because it's more common that an animal should have a cramp, and it's not common that it should have a spinal cord injury, and therefore we don't assume that the reason why it's dragging his leg is because of a tarfus, and therefore we could consider it kosher. Another halacha, Rav Huna says, Zecharim, the rams, hamanakin zazeh, that they gore each other, in chayshim mishum risuki evarim. We don't have to be concerned with their banging heads that they're dislodging their limbs. And avagav de midvu v'kaimu, and even though that they're worried and they're in pain, that's simra ba'amu hu denakadlu. That's just a fever that they're having. Similar, like we say, when they do these natural things, then we don't have to be concerned that this was risik evarim. But enough alar, but if it falls to the ground, then vadechashin, then we have to be concerned for this halacha of nefula of risik evarim. Continue on this theme, Amr of Menashe, he says, Hani dichri digan v'ganovi. These rams, that the thieves steal these animals, and when they're escaping from the property, they throw the animals over the walls of the courtyard, and then the animals fall to the ground. In chayshim mishum risi gevurim, they would want to be concerned for when the animal falls down for the dislodging of the limbs. My time, what's the reason? Because kishadlu, when the thieves throw the animals over the walls, amasnayu shadilhu, they throw them on their loins, on their stomachs, and they don't fall on their backs, which would then dislodge their vertebrae and make it a possible treifa. And the reason why they throw the animals that way is kihecha delira tikamai, so the animals could run in front of them and they could get a clean getaway. So if they're doing it, they know how to do it in a way that's not going to make it risi gevurim, and there's no concern. Now, however, adrinu, but when they actually throw the animal back over the wall, then vadecheshin, and then we definitely have to be concerned, because then they don't care how it falls. They just want to throw back on the property and get it and then escape. However, the Gemara qualifies that, v'hanimila d'adrinu machmasir, but that's only if they're returning the animal because of fear, they're about to get caught with the goods, they throw the animal back over and they run away. So then they don't care how it lands. But if they return the animal because of repentance, then tshuva mal yasur da avdi, obviously they want to do a full repentance, that's why they're returning what they stole, they'll make sure to do it in a way that it doesn't get injured, then even in that case, we don't have to be concerned for risi gevurim. Continuing these halachas, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, he says, hika al reisha, if someone hit an animal on its head, and the stick bent, v'holcha l'klap iznava, and then they went and hit the animal on the tail, and not on the rib cage, or als nava v'hochel al klapi reisha, or he hit it on the tail and then went and banged it on its head, or kenegad kol hashedra kula, or opposite the entirety of the spine. So then in all these situations, in chayishim mishum yisuke evam, we don't have to be concerned for the dislodging of the limbs, because it distributed in an equal type of a way the force of the hit, and it didn't give an injury that should have dislodged the animal's limbs. But v'sholem chutra apalgi de gaba, but if let's say that the stick ended only halfway through the spine, so when it hit it, it wasn't able to distribute it along the entirety of the spine, so then it's giving more of an impact on part of the animal, then we are concerned. And the isba kitri, and if there's knots, which means, let's say using a stick that has some of the branches left over, so it has some hard parts on it, then chashinim, then we're also concerned. And v'imachi afasken, if we're hitting the animal in the place where it does stop, for example, on the width of the back, then chashinim, then we're concerned for the spinal cord that maybe that it did create an injury. Now, Amar Rav Nachman, he says, beis harechem, the womb of the animal, meaning a calf that's born today, where it came out of a very narrow birthing cavity, that's not a concern that maybe that it got compressed and it dislodged its limbs when it was coming through the birth canal, and hence we don't have to wait 24 hours like the classic halacha of Ritzi Givan. So I'm only Rabbi Rav Nachman. Rabbi said, Rav Nachman, Tanim Seilach, I have a brisa that supports your point. Why? Because the brisa says in a different context, Tinik ben yemechad, a child that's even one day old, that's a ketin tamid beis, mitame beziva. If let's say this liquid that comes out of a person's body, that's a ziva, as it comes out of male or female, there's a tumma of ziva. So we're saying even a one day old child, if it has ziva, it will contaminate like ziva. Now on that says Rava, but Isak Gatatik Yeshba Mishum Risuke Varm, if you say a child that was born when it comes out of the birth canal has this dislodging of the limbs, so then that means every newborn baby is ill. Which is one of the seven ways we check a Zav to inspect, where we see was it a natural ziva, or was it a ziva that actually was forced because of external circumstances where then actually there's no tuma ziva. And then you would have a problem of ikri kam mibisari. Then we would call, like the pasuk says in Mikra Tezvav, that no, it has to be zav mibisari. It has to come from his flesh, which his flesh has to be intact. Veloy machmas anse, not something that was due to external forceful situations. Which, if you would say that there's risa givarim, then a one day old child, then that's einsai because of the illness of risa givarim, and therefore there actually shouldn't be tumaziv. And the fact that we see there is, obviously there's no risa givarim, like you're saying. Nothing more rejects the proof and says, no, what we can talk about over here, that a one-day-old child could have ziva, is kiken shiyata derech daifin. When it was born through cesarean, through some type of medicinal surgery, where then the mother and the child stays alive, because as Rashi points out, it can't be when the mother dies and then they take the child out, because the Gemara needed that Mendal Manav says that then actually the fetus dies first. So we're talking about that, no, through a cesarean surgery, that's how the animal's born, that's how the person is born. And therefore there would be tuma ziva because there's no risa givarim, but maybe when there is through the regular birth, actually maybe then there would be risa givarim, and then maybe then there would not be tuma ziva. So there was no right to Rav Nachman. So the Gemara attempts another proof. Tashema. We're looking at the braisa that says, egel shenayli b'yamtiv, a calf that was born on yamtiv. So what the braisa is discussing is that there's no problem about muktza. Muktza is generally something that was not prepared from before Shabbos or Yom Tov, so you can't utilize it on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Here we're saying, although it wasn't prepared from before Yom Tov because it wasn't born yet, it was still considered what's called muchin, prepared from before Yom Tov, because the mother, which it's in the womb of that mother, was able to be slaughtered already from before Yom Tov, and therefore it's prepared through the mother because the child would be able to be eaten then also, and therefore sheichet nesei b'Yom Tov, then even though this calf was only born on Yom Tov, you could slaughter on Yom Tov. But one thing we see is that there's another element over here. Even if, let's say, it's not a problem muktzah, but when it's born, there should be risa givarim, and then that's a problem about possible tarfis, which you generally have to wait 24 hours. How could you slaughter that day? Obviously, there's no risa givarim when it comes out of the birthing canal. And that's the Gemara in the Hachanam here also. It's not a proof. Kagan shiyatza derech daifin. Could be it was born through cesarean, and therefore there's no problem about risa givarim, and that's why you could slaughter it. But maybe it was born through natural birth. Maybe actually you would have to wait 24 hours. So the Gemara attempts a different proof. Tashema. The Braisa says, the Shavin, that all the Tanoim, even those that have in the dispute Mesechtes Beit of Chavav Mebeis, regarding a Bechor, a firstborn animal that was born from before Yom Tov, if it develops a blemish on Yom Tov, which then actually then the person could use it for their own purposes and then it doesn't have to be brought as a carbon, so there's a Machlekes regarding if it develops a blemish on Yom Tov, if you get in slaughter on Yom Tov. And that says the Braisa, however, even those who say that if it develops a blemish on Yom Tov, it's going to be forbidden because it was Muktza coming into Yom Tov at twilight. It was still forbidden before it developed a blemish as a problem of prohibition of Kachim because it's considered a valid carbon that you'd be slaughtering outside until it develops a blemish. So even that opinion holds, Shem Noilid Hu, but if let's say the animal itself was born today on Yom Tov, Umuma Imai together with its blemish, oh Shazem and Amuchim, that is considered that it is prepared, it's not Muktza because that animal was never forbidden. Because before it was born in the mother's womb, so then it's considered prepared by its mother, because when you slaughter the animal and the baby's inside, you could eat that, and it's permitted. Because the status of Bechor does not get sanctified until it's actually born. And when it's born with its blemish. And if it has a blemish, it's fit to slaughter outside. So it was never a problem about muktzah. But one thing we see, okay, forget about muktzah, but the thing is, you see, you're going to be slaughtering on the day within 24 hours. You see, there's no problem about rizigivarm. Says the Gemara in Vachitim, if you're going to say hachanami, the heroes like he answered previously, shiatza derech daifin, that is born through cesarean. Yeah, but derech daifin mi kaddish? If an animal is born through the stomach of the mother, not through the birthing canal, is it sanctified with the status of a firstborn of Bechor that, like the Bryce is telling us, that you need to have the blemish to permit it to be slaughtered out of the base of Mikdash? But obviously the Bryce is considering it that it would have Kedushas Bechor without the mum, but how could that be if you're saying it's born through cesarean? But V'am Rabbi Yechon said, Maidah Yerb Shimon, meaning even Rabbi Shimon who disagrees in Masech the Snidah of Memam and Aleph by an animal that's born through cesarean, meaning he says that someone that's born through cesarean is considered born, Yalud. And hence, the mother who gives birth through cesarean has to sit the Tumas Yeledes of giving birth and the period of Tumah and Tahara. Now, so that's Rabbi Yechon, and that's because there you have a ribui in the Pasuk that says, V'im Nekei B'Teilet. Which that extra terminology comes to say, even a different type of a birth, even Yetzir Daifin, even when it comes through the mother's stomach, not through the birthing canal, which is cesarean. But even Reb Shimon agrees, L'inyan Kadshim, regarding Karbanis, She'ina Kaddish, that then it does not become sanctified. The reason for that is because it says in the Pasuk, Ki Yevalid, which there it says has to be through the normal birthing, which actually excludes cesarean. So everyone agrees that cesarean is not sanctified with Kedushas Bechor. So if this Bryce is trying to say that the reason why it's prepared is because it's born with its blemish on Yom Tov and before it was permitted through its mother, but you see that it's considered a Bechor, albeit a blemish Bechor, but then how could you say it's Tumah through cesarean? To answer the question regarding Risa Gevarm, if it's born through cesarean, then it wouldn't have Kedushas Bechor. So this is going to be read a different answer. Hachmei Skinner, what are we talking about over here in the Bryce that we say that it's permitted to be eaten on the day that it's born and we're not concerned for Risa Gevarm? Not because like Rav Nachman. Maybe generally we do have to wait 24 hours because of Risa Gevarm when it comes through the birthing canal. But here it's talking about Shehifas al Gabi Karka, where the animal was already moving to stand up and it stuck its hooves into the ground to stand up. Where we say later on, as we're going to classify regarding the Fula, that if it gets up after it fell, then we don't have to wait 24 hours, but there's no proof. Maybe the halacha in its own right really is that you have to wait 24 hours. But as we're going to shortly see, even in the general halacha of Nafula, if it stands up, then you don't have to wait 24 hours. So here too, that's why you're able to eat on Yom Tov, because no problem but muktzah. But maybe the halacha actually would require, even through the breathing canal, the regular halacha of concern for Risa Gevarm. Another teaching from V'amr of Nachman on this topic, it says, Beis Hamit B'chaim, in the slaughtering house, which is what they do is that they throw the animal down to the ground to slaughter it. So even if they're throwing it down from a high height, there's no problem about this concern of the limbs being dislodged. As the Gemara illustrates, there was this ox that was felled, and this was in the slaughtering house. And they heard the sound of its screaming when it was falling. They heard it at a distance. And still, Al Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, he went in, and Shakam Yishrofi, he took from the best choicest piece of meat from that animal, meaning showing that it's not a problem about Treifa. So Amalei Rabban, and the rabbi said to him, Manolacha, where do you know this, that you shouldn't be concerned for Risik? We all heard it screaming when it was falling. Maybe its limbs got dislodged. So Amalem, he said to them, Nohachim Rav, this is what Rav said. Tiparnav Noyit, the falling animal, when it's about to fall, it digs its fingernails into the ground to hold on as much as possible, Achamagila arts until it falls to the ground, and that it really doesn't fall from a height because it breaks its fall, it's holding on, so it's not just one big clumsy fall, and therefore that's why there's no problem about Risa Gevarm. Now Amr Yehuda Merav, he's going back in the halacha, the Mishnah that we said that if the animal falls from the roof, he qualifies, he says, but although we said that then there's a problem about treifa and we have to be concerned with Risa Gevarm and you would have to first wait 24 hours. But he says, if the animal stands up, although it didn't even move, it didn't walk, in its tzricha, you don't have to wait me'es la'es. Then you don't have to wait a 24-hour period. However, b'dika vadi bayi, but you most definitely do need to inspect the inside of the animal because of the spinal cord and because of possible breaking of the majority of the ribs. That's, you still have to be concerned for those things. But you don't have to be concerned for the Risa Gevarm itself. Now, if the animal didn't even stand up, then even if we do check the inside of the animal and you find it to be intact, it's still going to be a problem by treifa, because the bang of the dislodging of the limbs is its own unique halacha. And there's another idea. Even if we have no problem for risa gevarm because it stood up, you still have to check because of the fall. Maybe something actually got injured on the inside, and that's a secondary concern. Now, halacha, the animal not only stands up, but actually walks, in the tzricha b'dika, then you don't have to check, meaning we already took care of the fact that it stood up, that there's no problem with risa gevarm, and the fact that it walked obviously didn't have any of these internal injuries, and we don't have to check. Now, Rav Chiya bar Ashiya, he disagrees, he says, no, achazu v'achazu tzricha b'dika, he says, no, even if it's walking, you still have to check the inside to see if there was anything like a spinal cord injury or a breaking of the ribs. Now, Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Acha Amar Rav, he says, peshata yad lamed. He says, if the animal just stretched out his hand to stand up, even if it didn't stand up, then you don't have to wait a period of 24 hours. Akra ragla halach, if let's say stretched out its foot to start walking, then even though it didn't walk, it still has the same halacha like walking, and you wouldn't even have to inspect it. Rav Chisdam, he says, ninar olamit. He says, even if it didn't stretch out its hand, it just strengthened itself and you saw that it wanted to get up, then even if it didn't stand up, has the same halacha like that, and you don't have to wait 24 hours. Says Gemara, the halacha is, heichad enafla min hagag b'dolo yada, if the animal fell from the roof without being aware, because like we said, if it was aware, then we say that it evaluated itself and there's no problem at all, because it definitely saw that it could jump safely. And v'amda v'loy halacha, if it stands up without walking, so then in those situations, tzricha b'dika has to be inspected. But it doesn't have to wait 24 hours because it stood up. But if it went, then even the inspection doesn't require. It's good to go. There's no problem with risa gevarm, and there's no problem about any internal injuries. Now, Amar Meimer, Rishmeidra of Dimanarda, he says, Nefula sha'amr tzricha b'dika, this that we said, that an animal that fell, so you need to inspect the inside. Again, besides the risa gevarm, said there's another concern that maybe there was an actual injury. That's the inspection is keneged b'nei ma'ayim, is opposite the area of the intestines on the bottom, that maybe the majority of the outer stomach tore, or maybe there was a hole in the intestines, that's where you got to check. Now, Amalei Mazutra said to him that Hochi Amrin Meshmeid Rapapa, this is what they said in the name of Rapapa, that Tzricha B'dika keneged Beis HaChal Kula, you actually have to check the whole inner cavity of the animal, because maybe the majority of the ribs broke, or some other types of spinal injury, and therefore you have to check that whole inner cavity of the animal. Amalei Huna Mar Berei De Rav Nechemiel Rav Ashi, he says, Simonamai, what's Halacha regarding the pipes of the animal, the esophagus and the trachea? Do they also need to be checked? And maybe they got ripped out when the animal fell to make that inspection? So Amalei, so on that, he said to him, no, Simon Mekoshen Hein Etzel Nafil, no, the pipes are hard regarding the fall, and they're not problematic. They don't have to be checked when it falls. Now, continuing on this halacha regarding falling, so up until now we were speaking about the laws of an animal. On that, Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuli says, oif. Now we're talking about a bird. Shenechved al pnei amayim, that if it got banged on the surface of the water, meaning forcefully, not by its own, it fell on the surface of the river. So you have to be concerned for risa gevarm, for the dislodging of the limbs, where less of an impact would be more injurious to a bird than an animal. So in that he says, kivin sheshat maloi kemasai, once it swims the distance of its height, so then that's like halicha, which like we said by the animal, then it doesn't need to be checked. And in one daya, that would be enough. Now, but v'loi morin el bimata lamala, that we only said if the water is going upstream, from down to up, of mamala lamata, but if it's going from top down, so mayuhu dishbalu, so the fact that it went at the length of its height, that wouldn't say anything, because it's the water that's taking it down, and then that wouldn't be a sign that it doesn't have a problem but risa gevarm. Now, but v'imaya kaima, but if the water is still water, like just in the pond, then less lamba, then we're not even concerned, even if the water was going from top down, that would still be okay, because it's obviously not the rushing water itself, because the water is still, and then even then, if it went mole kamasi, that would be sufficient. Now, moreover, v'shadi tzivi, if there were twigs of wood that were strewn around in the river, and v'kadme, and the bird got in front of the pieces of wood, then even if the water is going downstream, then and the water is not still water and it's moving, still it's going to be permitted. Why? Because hakadme, because the birds got in front of the wood, Obviously, the reason why it's moving faster is because it's swimming. So again, that's a sign of halicha. And then halicha, it tells us that it's kosher, that it doesn't require bedika. Nothing more continues with similar types of issues and problems that a bird might run into when it's flying is galima. So let's say there was a cloak that was hanging in the air on pegs, let's say laundry drying, that was matiach, that was stretched out very taut, and then the bird is flying and falls on it. So then chashinan, then they were also concerned for risa gevarm, and you have to wait the 24 hours because since it was stretched very tight, it actually makes it very hard, and therefore that impact might have injured the bird. But if it wasn't taut, if it wasn't pulled so tight, then we're not concerned if it smashes into that laundry. We're not concerned for risa gevarm. Let's say uf umufef, where if let's say that talus, that cloak was folded over, then even if it was pulled tight, we're not concerned because it can't be pulled so tight when it's doubled over as when it is in the single, and therefore we're not concerned for risa gevarm. Isla, if let's say the bird falls into a trap that's hanging in the air, u'mekarvi kitri, and it's a type of net that the threads, the knots of the threads were very close to each other. So then chashina, they were concerned because since the knots are harsh, maybe that's what crushed the limbs of the bird. But le'mekarvi kitri, if the knots of the net are not near each other, le'chashina, we're not concerned, then it very likely could have fell between those knots and not gotten injured through risa gevarm. Kisna d'avid betuni. Regarding linen, flax that's made into bundles, so then chashina, then we're concerned if it bangs into it because that's a hard thing. But if the high gisa or the high gisa, but if let's say the bird falls on the sides of the bundles and it slips off the sides, since it doesn't have a direct impact, then like chashina, then we're not concerned because when it hits it, it slides to the side and doesn't give such an injury to the bird. Asuryasa, if it hits bundles of reeds, then chashina, that's hard, so we're concerned for risa gevarm. Kisna de doyek, regarding linen that was beaten and venufits and it was combed, so lechashin, I'm not concerned if it's spread out on the ground and the bird falls on it, because that's soft. But daik veloinufits, but let's say if the linen was beaten but it wasn't combed, so then you have the broken pieces of the flax itself, which that's harsh and that could injure the bird, and therefore the lechashin, and then we are concerned for risa gevarm. Now, says the Gemara, de avid bizri, if they made it into bundles, even if it was beaten and combed, kiven dikaba kitri, since there's these knots, so then chashinan, because of the knots that are harsh, so we're concerned over there, because now they're in bundles, they're hard, so we're concerned that it might injure the bird. Now, daksa, which is similar, which is the what's called the ne'iris, which is the leftovers of the broken gevaylin, which are the stalks that we get the flax from, which are these are we're talking about are the shives, because when we separate it, there's different parts which are taken away from the flax when it's combed. There, if the bird hits that on impact, then chashinan, then we are concerned if the bird falls in it. But dakta kosa, which is the daka minha daka, which is the tau, which is, it's also no iris, it's also what's combed out from the flax, but that's soft. There, like chashinan, there, if let's say there's a pile of them on the ground and the bird falls in it, we're not concerned because actually, to the contrary, it's actually soft. Navra, which is the bast, it grows around the palm tree, which is a type of a liquid, but then they dry it up and then they spread it out into strips, and from that they make rope from. But as long as it wasn't made into ropes, so then it's a hard piece which was dried up, then chashina, if it hits that, we're concerned. But timchasa, but after that they had divided into strips, this navra, like is done for the bark of a tree, then the chashina, that already softened it up, and then we're not concerned. Kitma nehila, if it hits sifted ash that was sifted in the sieve, so then that's something that can be compounded, because it's fine, and it can become hard, so then chashina, we're concerned. But if it was ash that was loy nehila, that wasn't sifted, so then that's not something that can be compounded, and whenever it hits it, it's just a pile of ash, which is soft and not hard, then if it hits that, loy chashina, we're not concerned for that. Now the Gemara continues, tabam nun bezim and alef, choyl hadak, what's thin sand, loy chashin, we're not concerned because it's always going to slide off it, because that type of sand can never be compounded. Can't be compounded into a hard solid. But thick sand, there's large rocks in there that could injure the bird when it falls in it, then chashin, and then we're concerned. Avak drachim chashin. Also, the dust of the path, of the roads we're concerned for, because that also could be compounded and people step and step and then it becomes hard. Then we're concerned. Tivna, the straw of wheat or barley, and va'avid baskin was made into piles. So then chashin were concerned because that could be a hard thing. But lo yavid baskin, if it wasn't made into piles, then into bundles, then lo chashin were not concerned because the straw is a soft item. Chiti v'chol d'menayu, wheat and all those like wheat, like in this context, which is rye, which is hard, if it hits that, cheshinim were concerned if it falls in it. But sairi v'chol d'menayu, but barley and all those like it, there the gear says le cheshinim were not concerned for that. So through komin ikitnias, all types of legumes, beans, ein behem b'shem risuke evam. There's no concern over there for the shaking of the limbs, because since that was the type of things that it just slides off it, it doesn't get compounded together to injure the bird. Levarmin rubia, except for one type of kitnias, which is fenugreek, which that is something that it could injure the bird. Chimtzi, which are peas, aim by mishum risigevarm. There's no problem about risigevarm because that's also a slippery thing which doesn't get piled together into a hard substance. Chevtzi, however, chickpeas, which are not so round, and therefore it's not an automatic sliding off, there yesh b'mishrum risigivram, there would be a problem about injuring the limbs of the bird. This concludes the Gemara, kol demilsa. The rule of this context is, kol midi demishrik, anything that is slippery, that slides off one thing from the other, meaning the item that the bird is banging into, it cannot, does not get compounded together, and what if whoever falls in it, in this case the bird, it just slides off and it doesn't have a hard impact, then aim b'mishrum risigivram, that's the type of material that's not going to have a problem about dislodging the limbs of the bird. But loy mishrik, if it doesn't slide off, then yesh b'mishrum risigivram, then we have to be concerned that it gets compounded or it's a hard substance and then would injure the bird, and then we would have to have this halacha of risigivram, of nefula, of waiting the 24 hours, or having those other halachas of standing up or going, again, to ascertain that it's not this trefa of nefula falling down of risigivram.